This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
What trade talks have come up around his name?
Yeah, nothing right now. I know some people have kind of touched base with different parts of my team, just kind of testing the water, seeing what's going on. But no serious conversations have happened right now.
Ryan Poles, we believe nothing you say. But we like hearing from you, though, even if it's not the truth. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Could one of those teams be the Pittsburgh Steelers? If not, where could Justin Fields land? For that, we talk with our next guest, host for 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. You can also catch him talking to Danny Parkins on First and Pod. You can hear that here on the Odyssey app as well. And he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It's Andrew Filippone. Andrew, welcome to the night show.
Well, Gabe, I have to give you credit. I don't know if it was your call or Mitch Rosen's, but what a brilliant idea.
You put him on hold.
That's got to be the smartest. Can you hear me, guys?
Dude, my producer put you on hold. We missed your joke.
Okay, I was going to say, you've got the best job in America. I don't know if it was your call or Mitch Rosen's to have you follow Danny.
Yeah.
And you can just take what he says and then tell your audience the exact opposite.
You're
going to sound really smart doing that, Gabe.
Every day, 6 p.m., anti-Danny Parkins show begins. And so that's why you're on.
Big voice guy say that. You're listening to the anti-Danny Parkins show, and I'm guessing ratings bonanza.
Double.
If you do that.
I would think. They'd all come back. So to just
triple.
Be... Andrew, I know you guys are doing some good chats about the Chicago Bears. I'm sure you're just as tired as everybody else because Danny probably messages you all the time about Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, and everything that's going on there. But I'm just curious, first, let's take a step back and just, you know, your thoughts in the middle of the season about Justin Fields as opposed to, you know, what the Bears are doing now in the present.
I love Justin Fields coming into this year. I made a couple of very stupid bets on Chicago to make the playoffs and to win the division as a long shot because Danny had hoodwinked me and made me think that and made me think that Justin Fields was going to be the breakout quarterback of 2023. I thought the AFC version of that would be Kenny Pickett, another bad call. And Danny and I were convinced that Fields was going to be, and I was even more bullish on the team than he was. I thought that they were going to be a dark horse to make the playoffs. So I've watched him in Pittsburgh in person, a Monday night game. He was great in a game he lost his rookie year. All the great runs and the 1,000-yard season the season prior without much around him. And then, games this year like the Washington game on Thursday night where he and DJ Moore were able to hook up and make so many outstanding plays. So I do think there's a really good quarterback in there. I do think it's been proven, though, that he's not one of the elite quarterbacks where the coaching and the players around him and everything else don't matter. I think he needs an environment to succeed. I don't think he's Brock Purdy where everything needs to be perfect. So he's probably somewhere, Gabe, between maybe best case scenario, the 7th or 8th best quarterback in the league. If it's not the best case scenario, maybe he's a little bit better than average, even though he's unorthodox. And I think for the people I talk to every day in Pittsburgh, we would sign up for something like that right now.
It seems as though, you know, most teams would welcome an upgrade. And I think that's what Justin Fields can be for a lot of teams, including the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was actually at that game. My family and I, we go on a road trip every year. First time in Pittsburgh. Absolutely loved it. I'm Puerto Rican, so I loved it even more, seeing all the Roberto Clemente stuff. But at that game, I too thought, this is it. This guy's amazing. If he just gets a better team around him, this is going to be the game. But unfortunately, you know, the Bears are in a position to make an upgrade the same way that other teams are. And so the reason why I think Pittsburgh is a viable option, Andrew, is because if there is some sort of bidding war where teams are unwilling to move on from a second round pick, I just, for some reason, and this is why I'm glad we're talking, because in my head, I know nobody in Pittsburgh that's doing this. In my head, I'm like, I could see the Steelers saying, well, hell, we'll give up the 20th pick for him. If the best you got right now is a dangling mid-second rounder, yeah, whatever. 20th pick, we might not have the best talent there, but I take my upgrade at quarterback. Is that the thinking, or is it more second round, third round, or maybe next year's draft capital to get him?
So you're asking what I would do, or you're asking to get inside the heads of the Steelers' brain trust here, Gabe?
I want the latter.
You want me to get inside what they're doing?
Yeah.
They'll never trade the 20th pick. I think if somebody called them and said, we'll offer you Patrick Mahomes for the 20th pick, they'd say, let's talk to Mr. Rooney first.
Okay, this is good to know. This is good stuff.
Because they've only traded it one time since Chuck Knoll was hired in 68, and that was for Minka Fitzpatrick, who had multiple years left on his contract, and they looked at as the next Troy Polamalu, even though he's a little bit different kind of safety. That's the only time they've traded a first-round pick. GMs have changed. Redeems have changed. The ownership family is the same. And I think they look at the six Lombardi trophies, and they were largely built through the draft. And it takes a very, very, very special player to convince them to move that pick. So I think that's out of the question. That's a non-starter. I don't think – now, you might be surprised to hear this, and your listeners too – I don't think they've given up on Kenny Pickett to the point where they're so desperate they're going to give up draft capital or big assets to bring in another quarterback. They look at the offensive coordinator here last year, who was completely incompetent, was a joke, had no business being an NFL offensive coordinator, was fired midseason. The first time the Steelers had fired a coach midseason since World War II. And they look at him as the scapegoat. And I think they are interested in seeing what Pickett looks like in a new offense under Arthur Smith, full training camp, full preseason, see where that takes them. So that is my long way of saying, Gabe, I think the only way they get in on the Justin Fields sweepstakes is if the price plummets, if it really falls, if it gets to a point where they can trade a third round pick that maybe turns into a second round pick. If Fields hits some performance clauses or aspects of the deal, I think that's the only way they would even think about it. And the only reason why I'm saying that that's not completely off the table, I do think there would be interest if it got to a point where they felt like they were getting a bargain, because I know that Mike Tomlin likes him. And then at that point, it would be the head coach convincing the owner that he was worth taking a shot on, and it was worth putting Kenny Pickett on the back burner for. But that's the only way it happens, I think, Gabe, is if it's a trade that Tomlin feels like it's too good to pass up and it's too good to be true. Short of that, if it's a competitive bidding war, I think they're out, and I think Fields will end up somewhere else.
He's Andrew Filippone, host at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Also, you can catch him on First and Pod with Danny Parkins. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. When I'm looking at this Pittsburgh team, you know, I had Najee Harris on every single fantasy squad last year. Andrew, he broke my heart. And then you saw the kind of...
You needed to be listening to First and Pod, because I told you back in August, Gabe, that Jaylen Warren was the better running back.
See?
So you got to check with me next time,
See?
Brother.
Well, now I need to follow you and unfollow Danny so I can get real information about what's going on here. But with this team, though, I look at it and I see it from the outset, right? From a Chicagoan's perspective. And again, it's a team that I followed closely last year. More dysfunction than I would like. And dysfunction and uncertainty at the quarterback position, you know, semi-consistent, well, I guess below average consistent production at the running back, in the running back room. Wide receiver didn't seem like, you know, they were on the same page at most points. Defense dealing with injuries. What's your, you know, snapshot judgment of this Pittsburgh Steelers squad in its present form?
Well, I think that they're looking at best case scenario to be similar to what last season was, if what you see is what you get. And I know there's free agency, which they're not usually big players in. They spent more money in free agency last year than ever before, but they've never really shopped in the expensive aisles. They're not going to the high-end stores. They're not going to Beverly Hills to shop. They're shopping more at the TJ Maxx and that kind of deal. They're looking for clearance aisle things. So they'll spend money. They won't be any huge name guys. If they are, it's because they're a couple of years older than they were when they were in their prime. And in the draft, they had a home run with last year's draft. They got a bunch of starters. We'll see if they can do it again, run that back, and find two or three more guys. But I think they're looking at the probably ceiling being 7 seed, 6 seed in the playoffs, and not having the quarterback to compete with or measure up to whoever they play in that matchup, where 10 wins is probably the absolute best that this team can do, maybe 11. If they get the right injury luck and schedule luck and that kind of thing. That's why I'm on board with Fields. Like, I'm trying to convince the people that listen to my show that the Steelers should be more aggressive here and swing for the fences and try to go with a quarterback who has his flaws and definitely hasn't lived up to the draft pick yet. But I think there's a good player in there somewhere. And I also think that he would fit this offense, which when it was at its best under Arthur Smith in Tennessee, they had Ryan Tannehill moving around and making plays. And I want someone that's going to utilize Fields' legs and not just tell him to stand in the pocket and try to make throws from there.
Yeah.
Ask him to be more of a playmaker. So I do think if they got Fields, it wouldn't springboard them past Cincinnati per se if Burrow is healthy, but they would definitely be more of a threat, I think, a dangerous team where their high-end potential would be much better than it is right now with Pickett and possibly Mason Rudolph back at quarterback. So that's what I want, Gabe. They've been a team that's been average for a long time. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. It's one of the longest droughts in the NFL now. They're down there with the likes of the Bears, who haven't won that playoff game since 2010, of course. They don't want to be in that neighborhood. And that's what's happened to the Steelers since Ben Roethlisberger's retired. And I think they need to do something bold to change that. And it doesn't seem like that's their plan A right now, unless they're playing great poker and got everybody fooled. Everyone expects right now for the Steelers to run it back with Kenny Pickett next year at quarterback and see where that takes them.
That's a tough pill to swallow for a fan base. I mean,
it is,
because like you said, you know, you want them to make bold moves. And I mean, he could be just that, especially in the AFC. So much good quarterback play, and the Steelers have at least made it to the dance. And you would love, I'm sure, as a fan base, to just feel like you had a chance in the dance. And Justin Fields, if you add that guy to the team, I'm sure they will. The Bears trying to have a chance themselves if moving on from Justin Fields, where they supposedly will, you know, will take Caleb Williams with that number one spot. But, you know, in Chicago, Andrew, there's still people out there that believe, you know, if there is a deal for the number one pick that is enticing enough, that Ryan Poles will still jump at that opportunity. Do you believe in that as well?
No, I don't. I don't think after being in Kansas City and being a part of the management team that drafted Patrick Mahomes, I don't think that he wants to, years from now, if he's on the unemployment line or he's working for another team and he's blown his chance to be a franchise architect, I don't think he wants to look at this situation and think he got too cute and tried to get too smart with it and tried to pull off this heist where he accumulated all these picks, and instead of having to get one pick right, he's trying to get 5 or 6 or 7 picks right, or he's trying to shoot a percentage where they get this big treasure chest of picks, and you know he's got to go 2 of 3 with those picks that he gets back. I don't know. I'm not the biggest Caleb Williams fan. If I were in Ryan Poles' shoes, I would be nervous because my reputation, how people view me and what people say about me is going to boil down to how this player does. And my personal opinion is I would have just fired Eberflus. I would have cleaned house, and I would have hired the guy I thought was the best offensive mind who was available to be my head coach. And I don't really give a damn about Kevin Warren and Jim Harbaugh's relationship going back to the Big Ten. I would have made a full court press to hire him because he is a weird guy and he is a quirky guy and he is a strange man, but he wins not just in college, but he proved it with San Francisco turning Alex Smith's career around and then getting to a Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick. And I would not have let personal feelings or They're trying to figure out who has the most power or pull in an organization. That wouldn't have been, I would have sacrificed that for what was best for the team. And what's best for the Bears is finally getting a quarterback in that city where you've been yearning for one and dying for one for so long and putting him in the absolute right situation to succeed. So I'm not convinced they've done that. If they have a bad year this year, does Eberflus get fired and then they start all over again with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator? I think about that. I would keep the pick. I would take Caleb Williams. But I think the things that I did before making that pick would be a lot different than what the Bears have done to this point in the offseason.
Yeah, the coaching situation was interesting. Andrew, I was one of the people that was speaking loudly in favor of keeping Coach Eberflus, and it was simply because I was thinking, you know, the Bears sucked 2 years ago. And every single game towards the end of that season, guys were still coming in ready to play, ready to run through that wall, which is wild. And then this season, you know, with the Justin, Tyson Bagent, your coordinators getting fired, people dealing with drama, all the stuff that's going on, every reason in the world to just throw it in and say, no, I'm done with this team. I need to be looking towards the future of my next one. And even with four games left in the season, despite the turmoil, guys were coming in saying, we're going to run the slate and we're going to make it to the playoffs, which is wild. Everybody that was saying that in Chicago was like, this is wild that these guys believe that. So then at the end of the season, I started saying, well, damn, I get it, man. Like, if you can get if you get a crappy team to play, to think that they can win at every single day, even after all of this, then yeah, I guess if I'm Ryan Poles and I brought you in, I kind of want to give you one more chance because I feel like I'm making this team better and I want to give you the fullest opportunity to finish the job. But I do understand moving on from it. I want to make that very clear. Like, I understand he was in over his head. It seemed that way for the first two seasons. And bringing someone in of Harbaugh's caliber, someone like that, makes the most sense in the world.
Well, wait a minute here. I mean, there's a big difference between thinking the guy should get fired because he did a bad job and thinking that you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with the number one pick and there's a transcendent prospect out there in doing whatever is necessary to install an offense and a philosophy and a direction for the team that is all about this player that you're using this number one precious pick on. And I think it's the same thing with the Cubs. Like, did Rene Renteria deserve to get fired after one season? No, but Joe Maddon was available. Did David Ross deserve to get fired last year? No, probably not. But Craig Counsell wanted to come to Chicago and manage. He's better. So that's how I would have played it. Like, everything you said about Eberflus, I agree with 100%. I don't think he did a terrible job as a head coach last year, but he's just not the guy I'd want to have handling Caleb Williams from day one. It's the same thing with John Fox having to inherit Mitch Trubisky. Not that I don't think any coach probably would have made Trubisky work. My God, after watching him this year in Pittsburgh, like, just come on. But I would have just wanted to hire, instead of having any kind of setback with Williams, let's start fresh with both the coach and the quarterback and see where this goes.
Yeah, would have been a good one. Andrew, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for jumping on. And I will be certain to be following and listening in August to get all my inside scoops on my fantasy football team.
Well, again, real simple. Parkins thinks he knows fantasy football. Do the opposite of what he says.
Yeah, that's just,
it's real. I mean, he's giving you 4 hours of gold. He should really. I know that we've got Circa now and all these places. They should have him as a spokesperson, give out picks, and listeners should have a sign up thing where they get on board and fade Danny. I think it would probably. Yeah. It actually would probably bankrupt the casino, so that's a bad idea.
Yeah, too much profit
there. So retract that.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Edit, Sean. Hey, Andrew, appreciate your time, man. Have a great evening.
Guys.
Yep, Andrew Filippone, host at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. You can also check him out talking with Danny Parkins on the Odyssey app. It's called First and Pod. It's tough to hear that. The part about Justin Fields, because, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. If the highest the Bears are getting is a third round pick, like, you can't just get rid of Justin Fields just to get rid of him. And for me, third round pick, okay, Bears have the 75th pick in the third round. So, and they're pretty high on that board, right? So they're pretty high on the board. So you're going to have to trade. So, like, I'm thinking, whoever the, like, I don't feel comfortable about the Bears draft capital right now. Two firsts, a third, two fourths. That's it.
And you just lost that fifth yesterday.
Right. So that's not even there anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have these left. And I think, I then think to myself, like, you know, a third round pick, 75, the first two are spoken for. Like, do we think as a Bears fan base that the 75th pick in the draft is going to be some difference maker? Someone that's going to, without a doubt, contribute to this team? I don't know. You can't say that with confidence, especially if it's after 75, right? 75, best players are gone. You got player 80. Now, if you're telling me I have to exchange Justin Fields for player 80, I don't know if I like that exchange. And I think that's where I'm curious. Is it going to be a situation where the Bears brass feel as though they must move on from Justin Fields no matter what? Or do they see themselves, you know, keeping Justin because the offers that are coming in just aren't high enough? And they feel like they can duplicate that offer at the trade deadline. A quarterback-hungry team, I can see them easily giving up a second-round pick for Justin Fields if they need somebody to step in.
Chase Claypool got you a second-round pick, right?
Preach, Sean Sears. I was looking at Sam Darnold's trade. I was talking about this yesterday. It was a sixth-rounder in the current year that he was getting traded in, and then a second and a fifth in the next year for Sam Darnold. So for me, Justin Fields, the Bears might not get the draft compensation they want in this draft. They might get a fifth, sixth round. They might get another fifth to make up for the one they just gave away, or fifth and a sixth, something like that. And then next year, you get that second or third rounder. Then I feel like they'll do that.
Does that mean they trade from down from nine then, probably, right?
I still think they trade down from nine.
Yeah, you were saying that regardless, right?
I just think there's, like, if you have, remember, you got the Broncos and the Raiders that are quarterback-hungry teams.
Yeah.
They want J.J. McCarthy or anybody, Michael Penix Jr., whatever. If they just want to leapfrog the other, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the Raiders don't want the Broncos to be in front of them and they want to snag their game in front, come on down to nine. We got you, bro. Because you're going to take the quarterback that we don't want. So that's a wasted pick in our eyes. We don't care about that. Now, if we're at 13, we just got 10, 11, 12 to go. And we like five guys. So now we've added a, you know, whatever that's going to look like on the other side in terms of draft capital. So I think nine is it. Unless, like Mike Golic Jr. was saying, that another quarterback-hungry team leapfrogs the Bears and moves to 7-6 with the Giants, anything like that. The Chargers, who are rumored to want to move down from 5. Any of those, if they leapfrog them and grab a quarterback, well, now all those wide receivers kind of push their way down the line. And if you add both offensive linemen into the mix, so four quarterbacks, two offensive linemen, that's six. Well, there's still three wide receivers left. And that gets me right to number nine. And I get to have any of the three. Then I don't think the Bears would move.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if Malik Nabers is there, or like Roma Dunzio, because I don't think Harrison Jr.
He won't be there. I doubt Malik Nabers will be there. It's going to be Roma Dunzio. Because Malik Nabers, I tell everybody, I mean, if you haven't watched, Just go do yourself a favor if you like football, because he's just that good.
Dude, that dude's fun. Even at 6 foot, like, does not matter. Dude jumps out of the building.
He looks like, he when you watch the tape, it looks like Tyreek Hill. And so that's why it's like, he's not going to go further down the line. If I could see that, any NFL scout that's been watching him for years can see that. So again, it'll be interesting to see, but I can't say it enough. This is the best telenovela that I've ever watched in my entire life. This draft is going to be better than anything that I've ever seen, and I can't wait for this thing to
even
go
the
down.
Bulls? Come on, man. Even the Bulls?
All right, fine. I'll talk about Bulls on the other side.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I am going to talk about the White Sox, though. I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a duty that I have to talk about the White Sox. No one will talk about the White Sox, and this is just trashing them.
It's your burden to carry, man.
It is. It's my torch to carry, and I will. And
like how you gestured there, it's not a burden, it's a torch.
Yeah, it's a torch. See how I try to even just make that positive? On the other side, Dylan Cease had some interesting words about the Chicago White Sox. Something that would make you naysayers yell yay. What did Dylan Cease say about his squad, the Chicago White Sox? I'll play that for you on the other side. Leading you into DePaul basketball as they take on St. John's. We'll do all of that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Either way, I'm grateful to be a Major League Baseball player, so whether I'm here or somewhere else, I'm going to try to make the most of the opportunity, and that's all that really matters.
Dylan Cease. This sounds like a good Dylan Cease goodbye song.
It's called Beginnings by Chicago.
Sounds like Exits by Chicago for Dylan Cease. Love it, though. Gabe Ramirez here with you for about five more minutes. DePaul basketball about to begin soon. Zach Zabeman, Dave Corzine got the call. DePaul taking on St. John's in just a second. Dylan Cease had a message. This is from Scott Merkin, one of our favorites here on 670 School.
Our guy.
Wrote a great article a couple days ago about Dylan Cease, and I had this quote, and you know, like I say, I come on the show, I do my show, and I have guests. I got Grody, I got Clay Harbor, I got Anthony Heron, and sometimes I can't be selfish with my topics. And I can't talk about what I want to talk about, and they don't necessarily want to talk about the White Sox for 15 minutes. So I got to save these gems. And I love this quote that Dylan Cease had. This is great. He said, "I'm really excited for this rotation. I think a lot of people are sleeping on us." Now, first of all, I love the lingo. But I'm laughing at it, right? Because even I'm a Sox fan. He says, you see the way, this next line says, you see the way the ball is coming out of Michael Kopech's hand right now? Garrett is nasty. Fetty, super nasty. He locates well. I think this team has a ton of potential, and I think we're being slept on for sure. Scott Merkin writes, so it's not just the five starters, but the entire White Sox team deserving attention in Cease's mind? Cease? For sure. I love it. I love it because you want to know why? This is what I love the most about it. I've come to learn a little bit about Dylan Cease. He doesn't care. He genuinely does not care. Guys, honestly, it just does. I mean, I don't even care. Give me a ball. Give me a jersey. Tell me when I have to be on the mound, and I'll be there for you. I'm working on myself.
And if there's frisbee golf around there, I'll do that too.
Yeah, I'll do anything you need of me. Just don't ask me to shave my mustache. All right, I want to play this one clip for you because, again, I selfishly get to do what I want when I'm doing my own show. And I want to hear from Paul Konerko. It's been a while. Paulie. Shout out to everybody in the car saying, Paulie. You haven't heard from him, and you want to. And, you know, Andrew Vaughn was thought of as a guy who could be the leader of this team, the offensive leader of this team, taking over for Jose Abreu, who took over for Paul Konerko. And here are the two of them just chatting a little bit about hitting.
All right, show us what you got.
Yeah, I mean, I think, just whack away.
Oh. The thing, I mean, to me, it's always just simply good hitter first, power second. And I tried to, even though I hit a decent amount of home runs, it was never, I'm a home run hitter. And I don't think you are either. Like, you're going
to
be the guy.
I could never try to hit a home run.
No.
If I try to hit a home run.
A couple times a year, you feel it, and you're like, I'm going to get this here. Like, this guy in the mound, like, this is a good matchup, and I feel it. And you try to do it, and you do it. But most times that's going to be disastrous, and it's going to be like a rollover, a double play, you know, 6-4-3 or whatever. Yeah. What year is this for you now?
Going into year four.
Year four. So it's right at that time usually where the breakout happens. I mean, most guys say that you need 30 full years in. Be the guy that drives in the tough run late, and if you can do that, all those other numbers will come.
Swing and a drive! Deep left field!
And Andrew Vaughn with a towering drive wins it.
You know, so that's what I got. Print it.
I hope he listens. Andrew Vaughn would be great. First of all, the sound of that baseball, I mean, I don't know what it did to you in the car, but I heard that and I was like, yes, I am yearning. And that you would never, in my whole life, you would never hear me say anything like that. Maybe in 2006 after the White Sox won the World Series. But you would never hear me say that. And right now I'm like, yes, I can't wait to hear that ball hit the back of that catcher's mitt. That is going to be exciting. And hopefully Andrew Vaughn can be the offensive juggernaut that the White Sox wanted him to be last year this season. Because, you know, because like I said, like Dylan C said, they're slept on for sure. All right, give me my theme music, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm out. Got to thank the guests for today. Mike Golic Jr. giving up some great insight on the draft. Justin Fields. Reggie Bush situation. We also want to thank Andrew Filippone for giving us the Pittsburgh Steeler angle on the Justin Fields situation that's happening. I want to thank Sean Sears for producing today.
I am the smartest man alive!
For sure.
We got to find a drop of that.
D-Paw Basketball coming up next. They take on St. John's. Mi gente. That means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. Tomorrow, 6 p.m. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.